News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
I'm joined by Gabia Gadavascacha, who is Dublin correspondent of the BBC, because obviously while an awful lot of attention is going to the situation in the Middle East, other things continue to happen, including, Gabia, the protest of the IFA members in Bordbia. These are the farmers who have moved into the Bordbia offices in Dublin and have taken up residence in essence. Martin Hayden now complaining to the Gardaí about this.
Yes, so he has made a formal complaint to the Gardaí. He said that there's two signs that were ripped from the door of his constituency office at a weekend protest against that Bordbia chairman, Larry Murran. Now, of course, around 2,000 people gathered at. So we have the protest at Bordbia, but this is now spilled over into Martin Hayden's own constituency. So around 2,000 people gathered on Saturday outside his office, which is in Newbridge in County Kildare, and they went to stage a 2-kilometre convoy protest around the town. Now, the Agriculture Minister has said he's got full confidence in Murran and his role in Bordbia. The government, of course, now has backed him. But his spokesperson is saying that he made a complaint to the local Gardaí station on Sunday because there was two signs that were ripped off either side of the office door and taken away.
Now, you have to admire, whether or not you agree with their intent or whether or not you agree with their methodology, you have to admire their resilience. They are now north of a month and they continue to remain in situ in the office.
They're very persistent and it seems to be no signs of stopping, certainly at this stage.
And no sign of any resolution because, as having covered it a couple of times in this programme, it is one of those binary issues. He's either there or he's not. So there isn't much in the way of a compromise position to be achieved.
And we know, of course, you know, farmers' protests, when they bring the tractors and so on into town, I mean, they can bring entire cities to a standstill. And they have many a time. So I think for the Agriculture Minister, you know, it kind of hit close to home this weekend for him. And I think he's hoping that a resolution's on the cards soon.
We will see how it develops.
Hoping to reach a resolution,
indeed.
I should say. Women
apparently going to carry the cost of any delay to pay transparency rules. This is a union warning the Equality Minister, Norma Foley.
Yes. So a business lobby group, IBEC, which we were very familiar with, they've called on the Enterprise Minister, Peter Burke, to confirm that the transposition of the new pay transparency directive will be delayed. They're saying the businesses have not been given enough time to prepare. But what ICTU is saying is that female workers will carry this cost if they're saying the government's going to bend to 11-hour lobbying to delay these new pay transparency rules. Now, what these rules will mean is that employers must reveal salary ranges and job adverts or before the first interview and cannot ask about a candidate's earning history. They're also going to have to provide information on workers and how pay is decided.
Oh, so you mean the dreaded question, what are your salary expectations?
And
that's out the window.
Say, well, actually, I can't tell you as per the law. So
nothing says hire me like quoting legislation.
Yes, well, so there is pushes now to try and delay some of this, but ICTU pushing back against that and saying that it is going to affect women. They're saying that equal pay between women and men and enforcing equal pay for work of equal value is not a new obligation. And they've written to Norma Foley there.
But this is one of those ones where this is an EU directorate which has to be transposed into member state law. So whether or not IBEC is enthusiastic or not about it, it's on the way.
Yeah, it's happening. I suppose the question really is when.
Meanwhile, Cillian Murphy has said that films should not be preachy.
Well, this is quite an interesting comment, I think, from him. And it's always interesting to see the insights of actors into the art of filmmaking, because, of course, it is an art. Now, he's, of course, going to be starring in the Peaky Blinders film. That's coming soon. It's going to see Nazis teaming up with gangsters to try and crash the British economy during the Second World War. But he did an interview with The Times and he was asked about the film being released in an era where some political commentators on social media are openly supportive of Nazis. And he's saying that's very upsetting. But he says that this film wears that lightly. It's not the zone of interest, he's saying. And look, the last thing I want to be involved in is preachy or dogmatic work, because films should never tell you how to feel, Cillian Murphy said. They should just ask questions. This should be an entertaining action film with a big heart. But if you want to look closer, it can be provocative as well.
I'm sure there is a point where when telling you what to feel, telling you that it's good to feel bad about Nazis is probably not that It's not that risky. I think you're in safe territory if you're saying Nazis are bad.
Look, he's not a stranger to, you know, any World War II themes. Of course, Oppenheimer, you know, he played the scientist who was, you know, the father of the atomic bomb, so nicknamed Robert Oppenheimer. Now, he also was asked if he would take on the role of Voldemort in the upcoming Harry Potter television series, and he categorically ruled it out. So I'm sure you're happy. You were on the edge of your seat for that one, Anton. And you're happy to that's been cleared now.
It's one of those triple revelations. A, there is a TV series. B, there's a character called Voldemort. And C, he was in the running to play it. This is all news to me. Lastly, before you go, pushover kids, apparently, rather pushover fathers, telling kids, wait till your mother gets home. The stereotype of the stern father used as a threat of kids. In actual fact, research says dads are permissive, mums aren't.
Yes, because of course we're very familiar with the phrase, just wait until your father gets home. But this is a study from the Norwegian Business School published in a psychological reports journal. And mothers and fathers of 10-year-olds were asked detailed questions to assess their parenting style and if it was permissive, authoritative or authoritarian, I should say. And fathers were more permissive and found it hard to discipline their children, while mothers were more authoritative, setting clear boundaries and allowing children to help set the family rules. And one of the professors who's involved in the study said, fathers are more likely to simply give in to the demands of their children, and mothers are more likely to realise that this strategy does not work in the long run and adopt authoritarian parenting. It's now widely seen as the most effective parenting style. I don't know what the rules are in your house, Anton, but
as far as I'm concerned, it all started with The Sound of Music. That guy had that family running like a Swiss watch and the nun wrecked it.
Yes, well, I think it's interesting to see the roles of the switch in recent years, haven't they? Because it was always wait until dad gets home. But I think obviously now we see mothers and fathers and they go out and work equally, and you know, dads are a bit softer, it seems.
Well, if you have a view, 53106 or 087-1400-106. Gabia, as ever, thank you very much. Gabia Gadavaskacha, who is Dublin correspondent with the BBC.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.